Well, it's a good thing that Dr. Reese had Paige stand up. We joked about, but it's very true, about the only credibility I'll get is when you see me with her, and you go, well, he's not all that bad, I guess. He must have something going for him. Well, the past several years, I've had the good fortune to be able to help sponsor about half dozen mission trips or so, mostly with youth groups. And when the morning of the mission trip arrives, we have our little caravan of vehicles, which by the end of the trip have their own name and personality. We have CBs for better communication between the vehicles. The students bring enough snacks for each vehicle to open a small convenience store. And we have the trailer. Now, the trailer is necessary because inevitably about half the students will bring a year's worth of luggage for about a week's worth of mission trip. And no matter what size of trailer you get, it is barely enough room to fit everything in it. And so by the time we finally get the door closed, we're all breathing heavy sweat all over our face. And so knowing that we go through this ritual every time we have to pack the trailer, we make sure and tell the students, be sure you have everything out of your bag that you need for the day before we put it on the trailer. You know what's coming. I've done it. You've probably done it too. When we pack the trunk too tight and we finally get it closed, and then someone comes up and says, I left something in my bag that I really need for the day. And a lot of times it's true, unfortunately, for the trailer packer. And so beaten and broken, he approaches the trailer once again, dreading to open the door, hoping that their bag is not the one on the very back bottom corner. You know, in a lot of ways, I think this is how we in the church have sometimes handled the spiritual gifts. Most of my experience with the spiritual gifts in church, learning about the spiritual gifts in church, has been this. I spent most of my time examining the different spiritual gifts, determining what are not spiritual gifts, and discovering for myself, as an individual, what are my spiritual gifts. And let me just say that all of these things are very important. All of these things are helpful and essential for the individuals who listen and for the church. Therefore, it is a good thing that we have packed them in the spiritual gifts trailer. But somewhere in the packing process, we put something on the trailer that we desperately need in the vehicle with us. And because of that, several problems have arisen. For one of the problems is simply that the gifts are used in an inappropriate manner. Now, one such group I like to call the fire starters. Now, the fire starters are the type of people that insist that their gifts are used, but they neglect to realize that there are appropriate times and places and manners in which the gifts should be used. And so a lot like the Corinthian church, they go around using their gifts in a manner that is more destructive than constructive, just setting little fires all throughout the body. There's another group I like to call the freestylers. Now, this is the group that eventually goes outside the body to use their gifts. It should be said here that a lot of good things have been done in this manner. A lot of people have been fed. A lot of people have been clothed. A lot of needs have been met. But the problem is that often, eventually over time, the gifts become void of Christ and his body. And this was never the intention of the gifts, because the most important needs remain unmet. But the problem isn't simply that the gifts go unused, or that the gifts are used inappropriately. Part of the problem is that the gifts for many simply go unused. Now, one of these such groups I like to call the floaters. These are the type of people that float from church to church or function to function, simply relying the whole time on the spiritual life support of someone else's gifts. Church to them is about what they can get, and rarely do they consider the growth of others, much less do they consider how they can contribute to the body. And we see this especially among younger generations, high school students, very prevalent among college students, and even on up. Now, there's another group I like to call the faithful. Now, the faithful are forever loyal to their congregation. They're the type of people that are there every time the church doors are open. And if they could, they would officially have their seat, reserved if the church would let them. Now, this isn't bad in and of itself, but sometimes the problem is with the faithful that the only interaction they have is between themselves and the person who's beyond the podium that particular time or day. And so their roots are deep, unlike the floaters, but yet, in a way, they only rely on the gifts of others without contributing themselves. And there's one more group I like to call the fellowshippers. Now, the fellowshippers are a lot like the faithful. They're there at church a lot, and they're there because they love the fellowship. But somewhere along the way, I believe the church has forgotten that there is a little more to fellowship than simply socializing. And so for this group also, the gifts remain unused. Now, we're not the only group who has needed a little direction in the area of spiritual gifts. The New Testament has several examples, and the place we're going to look today, the church we're going to look at today, is the Ephesian church. See, the Ephesians were dealing with a lot of things. The Ephesians were trying to take hold of the fact that Christ is powerful enough to defeat the principalities and powers. They didn't need another message. They didn't need another gospel. The Ephesians were trying to remember that Christ had torn down the dividing wall that was keeping them from being unified. The Ephesians were struggling to put behind their old life. The Ephesians were struggling to remember who they were, who Christ had made them, who they now are in Christ. And so the first three chapters are basically all that Paul takes to remind them, this is who you are. This is what Christ has done. This is who he is and who you now are because of him. In the last three chapters, he spends basically saying, now because of who you are, live like it. And in the middle of this, at the beginning of this section, between talking and challenging them to unify because of who they are and challenging them to put behind their old way of life, Paul instructs them and tells them about the spiritual gifts. And this is where we're going to read. This is Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. See, the problem is that the church needs to know more than simply what the gifts are. The church needs to remember what the gifts are for. And it's the purpose of the gifts that we've accidentally put in the trailer. But we desperately need them in the car with us, because without them, without a better understanding of the real purposes of the gifts, we will most certainly get off the spiritual gifts path which God intended us to travel. So I want us to examine for the next few minutes the purposes of the gifts, and let us allow what we discover to continually serve as road markers to help us know if we are still staying on the path that God has intended us to take. The first marker that we need to be looking for is this. If the gifts are used appropriately, the gifts must be used in a manner that builds up the body of Christ. The gifts were never intended to tear down. The gifts were never intended to be used in a destructive way. That's why Paul spent so much time correcting the Corinthians. And the gifts were never intended to be used in a manner that makes them void of Christ and his body. They were intended to build up the body so that the body could reach out. Verse 12, to build up the body. The second road marker that we need to look for to make sure we're heading down the correct spiritual gifts path is this. If we're using the gifts correctly, then the body will begin to reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13. The gifts were never intended to be used in a way that is divisive. The gifts were never intended to be pitted against each other. Now I'm going to pick on preaching a little bit, because that's what I'm studying to be. And I think a lot of us, young whippersnappers especially, need to be reminded of this. But this could be applied to any of the gifts. If someone were to say that they had the gift of preaching, and yet the majority of the time they use that gift in a manner that rips the church apart, then they are grossly misusing the gift that God has given them. There are always going to be some varying opinions in the church. Unifying does not mean that everyone will be exactly on the same page, but the gifts were never intended to be destructive. They were never intended to be divisive. They were always intended to unify, to bring the body together. The next road marker we need to be looking for is this. If we're using the gifts correctly, then the body will become mature, attaining the whole measure of Christ. The end of 13. And the immature body is contrasted with this in verse 14. The immature body is tossed back and forth by any wave of teaching. The immature body doesn't know who they are. The immature body doesn't know where they stand. And so, for instance, when the media says that sin is no longer sin, the immature body looks around at one another and says, I didn't know that. Okay. The mature body knows who it is. The mature body builds itself up with the gifts. The mature body builds itself up in love, speaking and holding on to truth. The final road marker that we need to be looking for, perhaps it's simply understood. Perhaps it's too obvious for me to even mention. But in order for the body to be built up by the gifts, in order for the body to reach unity by the gifts, in order for the body to become mature, attaining the wholeness of Christ, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, in order for these things to happen by the gifts, then the gifts must be used. The gifts must be used. That's why Paul says in verse 16 that the body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's why somebody says that the church is not a dormitory for sleepers. It is an institution for workers. Now this is a challenge for those who simply rely upon the gifts of others without contributing themselves, without using their gifts. This is a challenge to the floaters, to the typical college student who never connects with a body so that they can give but only cares about what they can get. This is a challenge to the fellowshippers whose main interest is socializing but not necessarily in the building up of the body. And this is a challenge for the faithful who are still there but their only interaction is between themselves and the one behind the podium. Now perhaps this means to use the gifts. Perhaps this means that we need to look for ways to be used. Perhaps this means that we need to keep our eyes open to the needs of the body. This most certainly means that we need to be, it means that we need to be connected to a body. This means if you are gifted to be an eye, then help the body see. And if you are gifted to be a leg, then help the body stand. And when it is ready, then you help the body walk. And when it is ready, then you help the body run. Question that's going around all this week. Question that's been answered by a lot wiser people than myself is, the church, who needs it? I think for us, the answer is simple. I do. You do. And we need a church that is mature. We need a church that is unified. We need a church that is growing up to Christ, who is the head. And so therefore, let us in this room commit today to use the gifts that God has given us. And let us in this room today commit to use the gifts that God has given us in a manner that builds up the body of Christ.
Wondered fine. Let's stand as we sing.
Rise up, O men of God, as with lesser things. Give heart and mind and soul and strength to serve the King of Kings. Rise up, O men of God, His kingdom tarries long.
raised. Again, thank all of you for being here, Bert, in very special ways. Thank you for this message and for the commitment that you have made, as I witness in your life, to not only to be mature yourself, but to help mature the church in Christ through the use of the gifts that God has given. And we thank you for this message. Tomorrow, Brady Bryce. Brady, it's your day. Brady's had to sit through two of these others and watch. And tomorrow you'll have an opportunity to hear what I know is a wonderful message from Brady. Again, we appreciate all of you being here today. Let's pause and pray as we end. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory. We thank you that you have provided avenues by which the community of believers may be built up into maturity. And that with the gifts that you give, with the opportunities that you provide, with believers whose lives reflect the life of your Son Jesus, that we as a community will begin to look more and more like him. And we pray, Father, that we'll be transformed in his image, that we'll serve as he serves, that we will reach out and touch the humanity of this world in ways that that reflect the compassion of Jesus Christ. And that within the body of believers, that rather than tearing one another down, that we will build one another up by the power of Christ, in whose name we pray.